Okay, good morning. Thank you for that very moving, powerful, impactful introduction regarding the lives and accomplishments of your wonderful daughters. May the neshama truly have a liyot in the merit of our Torah. And we thank you for the sponsorship in their memories. When I was asked to present on marriage in Tanakh, I said, well, if I'm talking about marriage in Tanakh, I'm going to talk about the first marriage in Tanakh, because it's the prototype for all future marriages, both in Tanakh and moving forward. So let's look at the beginning. The first marriage, what went right, what went wrong, and what we can learn. Let us begin on your handout packet. The sources are clearly labeled. Does anyone not have a packet? Where are the extra Sandy has? If we could please make sure you really you have one? Okay. Please take one. And also, please come in and have a seat. There are more seats here, and I would rather people not have to stand for the duration of the lecture. You'll be more comfortable. Please come in and sit down. There are seats here in the front. I'm not scary. So please come forward and sit down. Okay, so let's start in the beginning. Okay, so a topic that was suggested was, you know, Moshe's marriage versus our marriage. I'm sure that would also be very interesting. I've not prepared a shir on that specifically. But I said, if you want to talk about marriage in Tanakh, I want to go back to the beginning. I'm at the top of page one. The pages are numbered on the bottom right, so there should be no confusion here. It's labeled as Bereishis 2. This is Perek Beis, Pasuk Yod Ches. Ayomer Hashem Elokim, God Elokim said, Lo tov heyo ta adam levado. You know, it's not good for a man to be alone. Ese lo erzikrenegdo. Very famous words. I will make for him a helper opposite him. Vayitzer Hashem. I'm just going to read these verses on the top source, and I'm going to be translating them. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim min ha'adam. So God Elokim formed from the earth all beasts of the field, all birds of the heaven. He brings them to Adam to see what he will call them. And however, Adam named the beast, so that was its name. And Adam called names for all the animals and the birds of the heaven and the beasts of the field. Va'adam lo matza ezer kenegdo. Something is missing in creation. This whole beautiful world. The sun is shining. I can't believe I have to go back to the East Coast this afternoon. And the trees and the fruit and the animals and the plethora of nature. And there's even man. And something is missing. Va'adam lo matza ezer kenegdo. What's missing? Man does not have a helper opposite him. Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tardema al Ha'adam Vayishan. God put man into a deep slumber. Tardema is Malach HaNirdom, says the captain of the ship, to Yonah on the ship. It's not just sleeping. It's a very deep, like, semi-comatose state. You're in such a deep sleep, you have no idea what's going on. Vayishan, and he slept. And he took from his side, from his rib, from the side bone, Vayiskar Basar Tachtena. He opens up, God, so to speak, opens up the side of man. He takes a piece of bone, he closes the flesh. Vayiven Hashem Elokim Asatzela Asher Lakach Min HaAdam LeIsha. This pasuk is bolded for you. God Elokim built Vayiven, Livnot, Beis Nun is the Shoresh. God Elokim built from the side bone that he took from man into woman. Vayivi'aha El HaAdam. And the next pasuk is not bolded for you, but in my mind it's one of the most, I'm not sure the right word, because to say romantic, it has connotations of Rahman al-Atsan, modern day society, but it's a pasuk that's so full of love, that denotes what a marriage should be. Vayomer ha'adam, zos ha'pam etzem me'atzamai, ubasar mi'psari. This time, it's bone from my bone. It's the right match. There's such a deep connection. I feel she's flesh from my flesh. Lezosi kare isha. Therefore, she is called isha. Kimi ish lukacha zo. She's taken from men. Al ken ya'azov ish es aviv esimo v'davak b'ishto v'ayu l'basar achad. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother, cling to his wife. They shall be one flesh. The two of them were naked. This is the last pasuk in Perek Bet before the Hanachash haya arum. V'yushneim arumim ha'adam v'ish. So the man and the woman are naked. They're in some sort of existence in the Garden of Eden. We have no idea what this existence was like, because this is pre-sin, and they were not embarrassed. Rav Shamsherfall Hirsch, beautiful Perush. Shamsherfall Hirsch was, of course, a very famous German Torah scholar, Torah Umada. He died in 1888 in Germany. Before man was created, says Rav Shamsherfall Hirsch, creation came to a temporary standstill. As God announced, the crown of creation, humanity, is about to appear. This was the case now, too, before the creation of woman. Man is already there, amongst the beauty of paradise in full bloom. But God was not yet able to say tov. It is not good because something is missing. Even though the whole world is created in full bloom, something is missing. As long as man is alone, the world is without good. I'm quoting Rav Shamsherfall Hirsch. The goal of perfection, which the world attains through mankind, and that by that we mean humanity, the goal of perfection, which is attained through humanity, is not attained in full as long as man is alone. You referred so frequently in your very moving tribute to your daughters about their husbands, their wonderful husbands, and the beautiful children that they have raised. You should have nachas from them. True Jewish nachas from their excelling in Torah and midot tovot and chesed ad mea ve'esrim shana. And you refer to their husbands who were really their partners. The completion of the good is not man, says Rav Shamsherfall Hirsch. It is woman. Only when woman is created to be with man is the good complete. The good is complete with the creation of woman for man and the entire world. As Chazal teach, only by the virtue of a wife is man called Adam, Maseches Yevamos. Only husband and wife together are Adam. So this day, which we refer to as Adam, is not in actuality the male persona alone. Creation cannot reach its full attainment as long as man is alone. The task is too great, says Rav Hirsch, for one person to perform alone. It must be shared by another. Hence, woman, Isha, is added to man. Together they can fulfill the purpose of Adam. So he understands that Adam does not mean the male being, that first male being. It means some sort of state of creation that can only come to fruition when man and woman are together. Al-Kein Ya'azov Ish as Aviv Esimo V'Davak Bishto V'Hayula Basar Echad. That one Basar Echad, that one flesh, is the fulfillment of Adam. The woman must be the Ezer Kenegdo, which we saw in the Pasuk. Even a superficial glance reveals this term, says Rav Hirsch, expresses the dignity of woman. Ezer Kenegdo, he says, does not carry any implication of a sexual relationship. Woman is placed into the sphere of man's activities. She is needed as an Ezer Kenegdo, and this is the true dignity of woman, because without woman, he cannot reach completion. She is the Ezer, the helper, Kenegdo, opposite him. An Ezer Kenegdo does not imply the woman is subordinate to men. And this is so interesting to read in light of the fact you have to take the historical times into context. This is written in the 1800s in Germany. So perhaps then already there are stirrings of the thought that is woman subordinate to man? Ezer Kenegdo does not in any way imply that the woman is subordinate to man. Actually, it denotes equality. Ezer. She is a helper. He can't do it without her. What does it mean I need help? It means I can't fulfill my task without you. It does not denote she is submissive. It denotes equality. Quote, equal independence. Kenegdo, she's at his side. She's not below him. She is parallel to him, says Rav Hirsch, on one line. The Ezer is formed as an Isha who stands beside man, not below him. Kenegdo, at another point on the line. There's a line. Here's the point of man, here's the point of woman. She is not below him, she is not beneath him, she is next to him, and together they can accomplish their goal. Each one is to work in his own special sphere, and thus, Isha complements Ish, and Ish complements Isha. So I think that's a very important point to establish right before we go any further. There is no sense in the Torah of inequality. In fact, it is full equality with the woman being on the equal plane of man from the moment of inception, from the moment of creation. There is no tov when he is alone. She brings the completion of tov, good, to the crown of creation. I'm going to share with you a very, very beautiful insight perhaps it's very hard to say this, if I say one of the most impactful insights from Torah, that's truly not accurate, because they are all the most impactful insights from Torah. If they're all on the same line, they're all of equal importance, but this is just unbelievable. Only two times in Kol HaTorah Kulo do we have the phrase Lo Tov. Lo Tov means it is not good. In fact, if you look through Parak Aleph of Bereishis, repeatedly, Vayar Elokim as Kol Asher Asa, that's the completion of creation, tell her to come in. Sandy, someone just wants to come in, but she left, but could you tell we started 5 minutes ago? If she wants. If she doesn't want, she doesn't have to, but she looked in and then she walked away. I don't want her to think she can't come in. Only two times in the entire Torah does it say Lo Tov. One is right here, which you see on your handout. We looked at it above. It's the first pasuk on page one. Vayom Hashem Elokim Lo Tov. What's not good? Heyos Adam Levado. Not good for man to be alone. Does anybody know the other time it says in Torah Lo Tov? It's not on your handout. I'm just going. Yeah, it is on your handout. Well, everybody in the room knows the next time it says Lo Tov. It's in Parshas Yisro, actually. Parshas Yisro is very famous for Matan Torah. Perek Yud Tes, chapter 19 of Shemos, the book of Exodus, begins with the narrative of Matan Torah. Perek Chav, chapter 20, begins with the Aseret Dibros, the giving of the 10 declarations of God. Perek Yud Tes is actually in the book of Shemos, Parsha Yisro, the story of Yisro, the father-in-law of Moshe, and we don't tend to associate Parshas Yisro with Yisro, but the truth is, the whole Parsha is named after him. Anyway, he comes to the desert, it's pre-Matan Torah, and he sees, we're not getting deep into this now because we don't have time for purposes of our shir, but he sees that Moshe is judging everybody by themselves. You have one Supreme Court justice, you have no lower courts, and Moshe is going to become exhausted. Keep in mind, when the Torah tells us there are 600,000 of the Bnei Yisrael, that's the men between the ages of 20 to 60. What about everybody over 60? What about everybody under 20? What about all the females and the entire Shevet Levi and all the babies? So when we say 600,000, that's a small fraction of the people. So let's say Moses is judging, you know, over 2 million people. Every time something goes wrong, every time one Jew has a dispute with another Jew, Rahman al-Islam, it happens often. Moshe is sitting the whole day and judging. So look on your handout. Shmos Perek Yud Ches. Vayomer Chosein Moshe Elav. Yisro says, ah, Lo Tov. When's the last time we saw these words? Back in Maisa Bereishis, by the creation of who? Isha. Yisro says to Moshe, you know what? Lo Tov Hadavar Asher Ata Oseh. Look at this. The matter which you are doing is not good. Nabol Tibol Gamata. You're going to be totally overwhelmed. You're going to be confused. You're going to become exhausted. Gam ata gam ha amazeh, you're going to be exhausted. The people are going to be worn out. The matter is too heavy from you. You cannot do this. Lo tuchal asahu. What's the next word? Now, isn't that interesting? Lo tov heyos ha'adam levado, by the creation of Isha, you have the appearance of lo tov and levad. What do you have here once again? Lo tov and once again levad. These are the only two times in the Torah that the phrase Lo Tov appears. They are both in relation to man being in a state of alone or loneliness. This is not my Ha'ara. My mother actually forwarded it to me a few years ago from the Rabbi of Herschel in Toronto, Congregation Shara Shemayim. So I'm passing along a beautiful gem of Torah. Only two times in the Torah we have Lo Tov is when man is levad. Now, in Adam's case, he is literally levad. Like when you say Adam was alone, it literally means existentially there is no other human being in the world except for the first man. Now, in Moshe's case, we learn something very deep into the human psyche. Moshe is surrounded by upwards of 2 million people. How could Yisro say to him, it's not good what you're doing? Lo tuchal sohu levadecha. You're not really alone. So what does Moshe's lo tov levado teach us? It's not the state of being physically alone. It's the metaphysical state, emotional state, loneliness. We can be surrounded by hordes of people and still feel alone. Now, that is not a physical alone. That is a sense, an emotive state, a depressive state. Nobody understands me. But in both cases, it indicates no one to share the burden with me. Adam had nobody to have the sense of fulfillment of crown of creation. And Moshe had no one to share the burden with him. And this is such, if you take away, I hope you're going to take away much more. We already quoted Rosham Shemfal Hirsch, who says that woman is on an equal plane with man. There is no subordination here. We should never think that Ezer Kenegdo means one plane, one level. They're together of equal importance to complement each other, to bring creation to fulfillment. Now what we're learning is very impactful as well. A person can either be physically alone. That is low tov. A person can be metaphysically alone, i.e. lonely. And that is all tov. Imagine, of all the difficulties that the Torah tells us, okay, Parshas B'chukosai, the terrible klalos, Rachman Tzom, we should never know from Shem, such things. Parshas Kisavo, Parshas Vayelech, and the state of Hester Panim, when God conceals his face, the Medrash says those were the most difficult psukim for the Almighty to write. Vanochi Aster Aster Panayim Ikem Bayamahu. What is low tov? To one thing, a sense of man being alone. It is not good. We need a helping hand. We need a listening ear. We need someone to share the burden of life. And when we have someone to share the burden of life, all of a sudden we go from lo tov to tov, and we can face the vicissitudes that life brings upon us when there is someone else to help us. So what went right? The title is What Went Wrong. So I was talking to somebody yesterday. I spoke three times over Shabbos. My tremendous appreciation of Karas HaTov to Rabbi and Mrs. Kalinsky for bringing my husband and myself back here to share Torah with this wonderfully amazing community. So someone said to me, well, what went wrong? We know what went wrong. It's not so posher what went wrong. We know what went wrong. But on a basic level, we do. What went right? The first thing that went right is that God made Adam a helper opposite him. The first thing that went right is that Adam is no longer alone to face the difficulties and the challenges in life. And Rav Soloveitchik says, and it's on your handout, please, bottom of page one. If you don't have a hand, do you have a handout? Sandy, are there more? Could you maybe just pass one down to that? You do have a handout. Look at the Rav, bottom of page one. Had the Torah said, Lo tov la Adam lehios levado. The phrase would connote that a lonely human existence is not good. I'm reading it along with you. The Torah instead suggests companionship is good, not only from a utilitarian perspective, but also from a moral viewpoint. The world's existence is morally justified only when man is not alone. So it's not only the complementing of my emotion, of my psyche, of my humane, instinctive, individual need to not be alone, but marriage also morally ennobles and elevates the world. The task of the married couple, therefore, says the Rav, bottom of page one, is to achieve the metaphysical goal of marriage by realizing the norms of morality. We elevate the morality of the world. You know, it's fascinating to consider that in Yahadus, in Judaism, marriage is kiddushin. That does not mean marriage. What does kiddushin mean? Sanctity. Holiness. We bring an added degree of morality, Rav Soloveitchik is teaching, into the world through the marriage of the man and the woman. Existential fulfillment only occurs when man, says the Rav, has a companion. It's not easy in our day and age, unfortunately, so many lack this state. And this isn't the time to talk about what is coined the Shidduch crisis. I was specifically asked to speak about marriage and Tanakh. But in speaking about marriage and Tanakh, I don't know if anyone in this room, I'm not asking for any show of hands or people watching live stream or who will be listening online. There are people, wonderful, who are still searching for that Ezer Kenegdo. It is our responsibility to keep them in mind, to try our utmost, to help, if they want, end that state of loneliness. And at the very minimal, to daven, the kolach of tefillah, to change worlds. beyond the scope of the shir to discuss more. That is not the goal or the point of today's shir, but it is worthy of mentioning. Imo anochi betzara. If the only two times the Torah says lo tov is in regard to the lonely or alone state of man, then we have an achrayus, a responsibility as a community, as caring, moral, loving, compassionate human beings, to try our utmost to ensure that people do not have or are not forced to exist in this state. And just one more word, we derive a very important lesson on here in inclusion, in terms of hachnasas archim, in terms of remembering people who are alone at our Shabbos table, at our Hanukkah mesiba. A text message to someone who you know is alone can change their world. A phone call, I'm thinking about you. Just a little bit of a ta'ara. Mesachas Yevamos, top of page 2. Samech Beis. Amar Rabbi Tanchum. Amar Rabbi Hanali. Kol Adam She'ein Lo Isha. I'm at the top of page 2. Kol Adam She'ein Lo Isha Sharui Belo Simcha Belo Bracha Belo Torah. Not is the woman subordinate to man. Not is she a second-class citizen to man. She brings to the home simcha. She brings to the home bracha. She brings to the home tova. Without her, the home lacks simcha. Joy, if I have to translate. Without her, the home lacks blessing. And without her, the home lacks good, if I have to translate. Chalila. That the woman, particularly the Jewish woman, the Akaris Habayah, should ever think there is any sense of subordination, God forbid. Her task is holy, her task is primary. Without the woman who births the children into the home, there is no simcha, there is no bracha, there is no tova. There is no grandchildren, Rachman Litzan, if there would not be a woman. Below Simcha Dektiv, quoting a pasuk from Devarim, when it comes to taking up your miser, your tithes up to the holy temple, v'samachta atu v'secha, v'achalta sham v'fnei Hashem elkecha, says the pasuk, you will eat your tithes or the money you bring up to the temple and buy produce or cattle, flock, whatever you buy with your tithes, you bring it up to the place where God has rested His presence. You eat, but the pasuk says, v'halachta sham v'fnei Hashem elkecha, v'samachta atu v'secha. Atu v'secha, who is v'secha? The man will rejoice. Who is v'secha? The woman along with him. That's what the Gemara expounds upon here. The lo bracha, dichtiv, pasuk from Yechezkel, when it's talking about bringing the reishis, the first ones of Bikurim, and Truma, and Yerdo, lahaniach bracha al beisacha. So once again, here we see the woman brings bracha, the woman brings simcha, and from our story of Maisa Bereishis, below tova. As the pasuk says, lo tov hayos adam levado. So the Gemara is teaching us, without the ikrosh al beiso, as she just told us in yesterday's parsha, that Rachel was the akaris habais, it says, Rachel Eshes Yaakov, and Rashi says she is the ikar, she is the mainstay, she is the grounded point of his home. The home lacks bracha, simcha, and tova. What can we learn? What went right? What went wrong? What we can learn? So first, before we talk about what went wrong, what went wrong is its own shir, if not its own shir series in itself. Okay, but what we can learn. One thing that we learn is we learn from the past to build the future, which is what you so beautifully, so movingly, and so eloquently expressed in what you see in your grandchildren as they learn from their mothers. We learn from the past to build the future. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, former chief rabbi of Israel, relates an insight of his father-in-law. His father-in-law was a very, very well-known Rav of Yitzchak Yedidya Frankel, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, died in 1986. So Rav Yitzchak Yedidya Frankel has a question. Al kein ya'azov ish es aviv esimo v'davak ba'ishto. So that's a question of Rav Yitzchak Yedidya Frankel. The question he posed to his Lau is, the entire institution of marriage is encapsulated in this verse. Al kein, therefore, a man should azov et aviv et imo v'davak ba'ishto v'ayu l'basar achad. That's his question. This is the basis for generation upon generation. Under the chuppah, we say, let them be joyful, kisamecha, yitzircha, began Eden mikedem. Every couple is a continuation of Adam and Chava. Why does the Torah say, ya'azov ish, asaviv asimo? You understand the importance of the positive side, v'davak bish. So yes, but can he cling to his wife without leaving his father and mother? Why does the Torah use the word, la'azov? For 20 years, Rav Lau tells this insight over in his book, Out of the Depths. If you have not read it, you should read it immediately. I'm sure most people here have read it. Rav Lau's memoir, Out of the Depths, and he tells us the insight of his father-in-law. For 20 years, Rav Lau writes, quoting his father-in-law, the parents invest in this child. They don't sleep at night while he burns with fever. They work overtime in order to support him. They take care of his every need. And now he's going to get married, and the Torah says, oh, you know those people who would sacrifice every fiber of existence for you? Ya'azov ish at aviv esmo. Did anyone ever think of this question? Why? Says Rabbi Yitzchak Yedidah Frankel. By the way, Rav Lau tells that his father-in-law posed the story to him when he first came to meet him when the shidduch was proposed. He says, this is what he's asking me? What is this, says Rabbi Yitzchak Yedidah Frankel, a divorce from the parents? What did they do to deserve this? You know, I spoke yesterday to Shi'urim for Link, Rabbi Brander's Link call to women Shi'urim in the morning and in the afternoon. So I davened there in the morning. Rabbi Brander gave a very beautiful Shabbos drasha, but one of the things he touched upon was strikes. He was talking about responsibility, as learned from Yehuda, Vayikash Elav Yehuda, whatever. He was talking about responsibility, but he said we have so many kinds of strikes in the world. You know, the airplane industry goes on strikes, bus driver goes on strikes, nurses go on strikes. He says, you know who never goes on strikes?
Mothers.
He says, you never hear, you know what? I'm underpaid, overworked, no benefits, chronically exhausted. I'm not working today. You don't feel well? No Tylenol for you. You're hungry? No supper tonight. The mother never goes on strike. So what is this? I'm relating to Rabbi Brander said. So this insight of Yazov, Isha, Zaviva, Simol. You could save it, Davak, Bishto, but what are you telling me? So Rabbi Yitzchak Yedidah Frankel is a beautiful answer. The verb ya'azov, ayin, zayin, bet, if you look on page one, if you want to know the word I'm talking about, you can see it for yourself. The second to last pasuk in source one, and I actually bolded it for you because we would be speaking about it, ya'azov ish, ayin, zayin, bet, okay, does not only mean to leave. Now, I will tell you, in preparing Shira, I looked it up on Google Translate. I never heard that this is, yeah, it comes in handy. I never knew that this is an interpretation for ayin, zayim, bet, but it is. It also means inheritance, as in the word izavon. Ayin, zayim, bet, vavnun. Izavon means inheritance. So what do we learn from the institution of the first marriage? If we want the couple to be successful going forward, they must take, said Rabbi Yitzchak Yedidah Frankel Zatzal's quote of Rabbi Lau Shlita, the spiritual inheritance from the past in order to build from the future. Now, of course, now you could play devil's advocate and you want to, you know, throw the shear off track and say, well, Adam and Isha didn't have a mother and a father. This is a Torah narrative. This is not specifically talking here about Adam and Isha. This is a commentary of the Torah. Now that man and woman found each other, Ya'azov Ish V'azaviv Etimo. I have a Sandy, the next year starts at 10:15, right? Because I started late, so I'm not, the next year starts at 10:15. I will make sure you're out of here in time to get to the next year slot, okay? But I do need the time. So there's material inheritance, says Rabbi Lau, that a parent bequeaths to the child. There's the material investment, and there is the spiritual investment the parent bequeaths to the child. Only if the children take the izavon, the spiritual inheritance, you spoke about this vis-a-vis your daughters, Alayna Shalom, and your grandchildren, the spiritual inheritance, and cling to the future, then we can be successful in ensuring the continuity of Knesset Yisrael. This is how we will succeed in raising a family. So we take beautiful interpretation, so beautiful. Okay, and therefore, Ya'azov Ish at Aviv et Imo, take the Izavon, that they bequeath the spiritual inheritance, and how you build with Davat Bishto. He and she take the Mesorah of the past in order to move forward. So far we said, what do we learn? It's not good for man to be either physically alone or metaphysically alone, which we call loneliness. What else do we learn? We must take the spiritual inheritance and pass it forward as we establish our marriages. I'm forgetting one. No, that's two. Three. Rav Eli Malach Biderman, someone yesterday at the Friday night dinner, asked him what sources I quote from primarily. So I said, first of all, you can't come to Shir and not hear of Soloveitchik. We've already had him. That's my primary rabbi, if you will. But I said, after that, all over the spectrum. I'm now, if it's Torah and it's MS, I'm going to teach it. There's no one Hashkafik Mahalach that I will stick with, as long as it's Torah's MS. Rav Elimelech Biderman, who is a current day Gadol Talmid Chacham, Hasidic Mashpia in Eretz Yisrael, has a geshmak var with practical implication for marriage. You noted in the first page of your handout, and I commented on the deep slumber that Adam was put into, at the top of page one, and I bolded this as well, Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tardema al HaAdam Vayishan. Why does it use a double lashon for sleep? Just tell me, Adam was put to sleep. Or like, listen, it's the Garden of Eden, everything is miraculous. Just take the woman from the side. Why does the Torah even need to tell me at all that Adam was put to sleep in order to create Isha? Their marriage was begun when Adam was sleeping. So Rav Elimelech Biderman teaches something very important. You don't always need to be awake in marriage. I do not mean anything inappropriate. Chas v'shalom. I'm being serious. You don't always need to see what the other person's doing. I'm not talking about, God forbid, Chil Shabbos. I'm not talking about major issues. This is not the place for, you know, we're not in a class on marriage therapy. I'm not being facetious. I'm being serious. I'm not talking about cases where a couple needs professional help. Those do exist. I'm talking about in everyday marriages. If we want them to be successful, we don't always need to be awake. Sometimes you need to be asleep. Overlook. I'm not talking about Chil Shabbos. I'm not talking about eating on Yom Kippur. I'm not talking about, God forbid, abuse. I'm not talking about Yotzei Min HaKlal situations. I'm talking about the small things that can be overlooked. I on the table sat when we're having company Shabbos day, and I know I have a Shir Motzei Shabbos. I don't have time for cleanup. I would like the table set with, this is true, I try and bring a personal vignettes when I can, because you should know that I try very hard to implement in my own life what I teach. I'm not just telling it to you. I try and live by what I teach. I try. Hashem should help me. So I have a Shir Motzei Shabbos, night before Hanukkah. And I'm hosting Hanukkah company the next night, Sunday night. So I would like to use Shabbos paper goods on the table so I don't have a cleanup. My wonderful husband, who Baruch Hashem sets the table every week for Shabbos, uses real dishes. When I came down, I saw the table set with real. No, I don't want real. Who cleans up? I clean up. I have a shir at 8 o'clock until the men get home, until we make avdala. I'm hosting company Sunday evening for Hanukkah. I didn't say anything. We used real. I got the cleanup. I got the shir. We had company Sunday night. It could turn into a machlokas. He likes real on the table. I want a paper. It saves me time. This is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about when you need rabbinic and psychological and medical help. Please. No, I'm really not making a joke. No one should say, Michal said you should always be asleep. You should not always be asleep. Okay, so I cleaned up. We had a beautiful Shabbos meal. I didn't have to say, why did he use real? You know I like paper. He knows I like paper. I know he uses real. Go to sleep. Look over. This is a practical, applicable, what can we learn lesson from the first marriage. Ya'azov isha saviva esimo, take from the izavon, from the past, to bequeath it to the future. Lo tov levado, both times. Try and help others find their brasher. Understand and appreciate. If you're fortunate to have a spouse, the gift that God gave you, you're not alone. There is someone to share the difficulties in life. Third thing, sometimes it's kedai to go to sleep. It's just not worth it. Okay, very important. It's very, very important. Let's go on. See, what can we learn? Ready? I didn't give it to you on your handout. I apologize. But it's based on, go back to page one, please. Top excerpt from Bereishis Perek Beit. So let's look at the bolded verses. We spoke about Lo Tov, what we learned from Lo Tov Heos Adam Levado. We spoke about Vayapel Hashem Elkim Tardema Al HaAdam Vayishan. We just spoke about that. We spoke about Ya'azovitz. Do you see what I'm doing? I'm looking at the top of page one. In that series of psukim from Parak Bet, you have a number of verses or phrases that are bolded. Why are they bolded? Because that's where we're deriving our lessons from. So we spoke about Lo Tov. We spoke about sleep. We spoke about Ya'azov. Now let's talk about Vayivein. Now you know that the root word for the creation of woman is Vayivein. Beis Nun is the Shoresh. In regard to the creation of man, in 127, Perak Al Pasuch of Zayin, it uses the word Vayivra. Vayivra Hashem Elkim Es Adam Tzalmo. Man is created at first through Bara, Beis Reish Aleph, creation. In 2:7, Perak Bet Pasuch Zayin, when man is refashioned, there are three verbs used in regard to the creation of man-woman. Man is referred to by the term Vayivra and Vayitzer. 1:27, 2:7. And when we come to woman, which is right here, you have 2:22, a new term, Vayiven. Why doesn't it say Vayivra Hashem Elokim Es Ha'isha? Why doesn't it say Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Es Ha'isha? Why does it introduce a new term? It's a very famous piece of Gemara, which you may or may not be familiar with, from Maseches Nida 45b. I'm sure you have heard it. What does the Gemara say there on this word Vayivain? Vain, Beis Nun, is the root word for build, and it's also the word for
Bina.
So the Gemara says, "Melamed shenasan Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty gave bina yisera beisha yoser mibeish, or bina yitera beisha yoter mibeish. The woman has an extra measure of wisdom or intuition more than the man. So it's not sufficient to say vayivra." He created woman. It's not sufficient to say vayitzer. He fashioned woman. With the creation of woman, yes, she is built, bet nun, from the side bone of man, but furthermore, she is given an extra measure, a divine endowment of bina, of intuition. And even in the animal kingdom, for the most part, the male is the one who leaves, he impregnates the woman after mating, and he's off, for the most part. It's the female species who sticks to the child, who sticks to the marriage. Women, mothers, never go on check. Even Rabbi Brander said, I know there are exceptions to the rule, Rachman Litzon, those are extreme, not well cases in general. Now look at Rav Shamshar Falhirsch. Wow. Wow. Page 2. Rav Shamshar Falhirsch, commenting on the creation of woman in 2:22. Unlike the case of man, I didn't want to read it to you without giving it to you. You're welcome to keep these handouts, by the way. Unlike the case of man, in the case of woman, the material for her body is not taken from earth. In 2:7, Perak Bet Pasuk Zayin, the Pasuk says, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Es Ha'adam Afar Min Ha'adama Vayipach Pafav Nishmas Chaim. What was man created from? You could look up in the Chumash inside if you want to see it inside, not now. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Es Ha'adam. What did I just say? Afar Min Adama. What's man created from? Dirt. What's woman created from? A human being. Unlike the case of man, in the case of woman, the material for her body was not taken from earth. God took one side of man, I'm reading it with you, and formed it into woman. Man was divided into two, so to speak, and one part became woman. The Torah does not say vayivra, vayitzer, vayas, vayivein. One side was built. This is not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says bina. He's saying the root word is be'non, to build, and made into woman. What was previously one is now two. The Torah thus attests, and we've already quoted Rav Hirsch who speaks about this, to the full, complete equality of woman. Please look, you must look with me at the second paragraph of Rav Shamshar Falhirsch. Our sages ascribe all the special qualities of woman, her voice, character, temperament, as well as her earlier spiritual and intellectual maturity to the way in which she was formed. She was formed from the feeling, sensitive, living body of man, as opposed to man who is taken dust from the earth. Do you understand what Hirsch is saying? A woman, her voice is softer. Her feelings might be more compassionate. She matures earlier spiritually and intellectually. Why? She was created from a human being. She is a person created from a person, whereas Adam was a person created from earth. She had an extra endowment of emotion, of speech, her special qualities, her character, because she was formed from an already living, feeling human being. And it is noteworthy that it is she who forms the next generation. She was formed from a living human being, and it is she who in her womb will form the next generation of living human beings, just as one beautiful Nakuda. The woman is full of Rachmanos. How would you translate Rachmanos? Mercy, compassion. It is not an accident that the Hebrew word for womb is racham. The same word for her womb, where that child grows into a living, feeling, compassionate being, is the root word of Rachmanos. Beautiful. Okay, let's get to the end here. What happens next is that there is sin. And again, that's really its own shear. If you turn to page 3, there is sin. Bottom of page 2 is the beginning. The Nachash convinces woman to eat from the tree. She eats from the tree. She gives Adam. He eats from the tree. Everybody's cursed. Top of page 3. Everybody's cursed. The woman is going to have tsar gidol banim and tsar leidos banim, says Rashi. Adam's going to have to work by the sweat of the brow, and the ground will give up thorns and thistles. Everybody's cursed. Third line, I'm on page 3, it says on the top 3:16 through 21. And God says, by the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread. Till you return to the ground, you were taken from the ground, you're dust, you're going back to the dust. What do you expect the next words to say? The very next word should say, Adam says to Isha, I want a divorce. Have a nice day. Are you nuts? I came home and said, what's for supper? Out of every tree in the Garden of Eden, you gave me the one tree that God said, no tucha mimeno? Really? What's for supper? Have some fruit. Really? Get out. It's your fault. Vayikra ha'adam shem ishto chava. Ki hi haisa im kochai. I love you. You made a mistake. That happens in marriage. I'm not leaving you. You're not leaving me. We can only reach fulfillment together. As disastrous as this was, we'll move on. I will not name you mother of all death, which is what he could have named her, because God said, on the day you eat from it, you will bring death to the world. Ki hi haisa, hi haita, em kochai. The Gemara says, I'm finishing. Masechta Sota, Yudalad Amar Aleph, Rabbi Simlei teaches. The Torah begins with chesed and ends with chesed. It begins with chesed, I'm on your handout. As the Pasuk says, God made for Adam and his wife clothing and he dressed them. Really? Says Rav Chaim Pichas Shaimer, Gzeichet Tzadik Levracha, that's the first chesed in the Torah. What about the fact that he created Isha in the first place? You had to wait till the end of Per Gimel to tell me, Rabbi Simlei should say, you know, the Torah begins with chesed. Oh, the end of Per Gimel, God made them clothing. There was no chesed before. What about placing him in the Garden of Eden, L'avdo L'shamra? What about making for him a wife? What about telling him you could eat from all the trees? Why do you wait till now? Rabbi Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg says, the chesed of the Torah, God's chesed is chesed for sinners. It's easy to do chesed with the people we like. What is God's reaction after Adam and Isha eat from the fruit tree? You're embarrassed, you're naked, I will clothe you. He makes them clothing. But I want to add a geschmack, ha'ara, to this. B'midah sha'adam modeid, modedin lo. By the way in which we measure others, God measures up. Look back at 3:16-21. Vayikra ha'adam shem ishto chava. Adam forgives Isha. So God forgives them both. It's symbolized in the Malbish Arum. And why does God make them clothing? He waits to see what is Adam's reaction to Isha. You're willing to move on? Mistakes happen. They do happen. Maybe even it's catastrophic. Adam found it in his heart to forgive her, and he named her a name of love and life. And therefore, God forgave them both. Sota 17a, and I'm finishing up. Darash Rabbi Akiva, Ish v'Isha zachu shchina beinehen, lo zachu eish achosan. If a man and a woman are zocha, the divine presence dwells between them. Says Rashi, because God divides his name. He gives the yud to ish, the hey to isha. And if they are not zocha, God removes his name, chalila. He takes away the yud, he takes away the hey, and you're left with ish. Should be zocha, the neshama of your beautiful, incredible, inspiring daughter should have aliyah, should have nachas from your grandchildren, admeiv esum shana, in good health and only smachot. And if we learn anything, we should. God grant us the humility to apply it in our everyday lives. I thank you all for your time. Amen.